Morning, everyone. Shall we open the Bible and turn to Acts 27? Book of Acts 27, we'll study a wonderful story today from Acts 27. And before we start, shall we bow our head and pray? Dear Father in heaven, we are so thankful again for this privilege. We can study your word. Lord, when we gather, we think of your grace. We think of the mighty work you did through us and in us. Lord, we have the burden to pray for Sister Miriam and Sister Jill. One member suffered. Lord, we pray that this is a major surgery. Lord, give the doctor the wisdom and strengthen and comfort our sister. Help them and help the families as well. Lord, we pray for today's humble heart and pray for the teaching from Holy Spirit. We pray in Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, Acts 27 is a wonderful story. That's a story that happened in the later service of Paul's ministry life. I just introduced a little background. By that time, Paul was persecuted in Jerusalem and arrested and persecuted. And also he appealed to the emperor, to Caesar. So he needed to be sent to Rome. That's the starting point of chapter 27. And in chapter 27, 28, this is a full story of Paul's ministry to a big sheep, about more than 200 people, and also to the Aboriginal people in the island named Malta. This is a very good opportunity for us to study a lot of truth, a lot of wonderful truth from this wonderful story. We can study this whole story from these several angles. The first is Lord's grace and almighty work, his salvation work through Paul and his co-workers. And secondly, how Lord lead and guide his workers. And we can put ourselves into Paul's shoe and see how Lord lead and guide myself as a worker. And thirdly, how Lord save a Gentile, or how a Gentile need to respond to Lord's grace and word. This whole story is very long. Probably we don't have enough time to share everything today, but this is we can split into three parts: pre-crisis, in crisis, and after crisis. So today I may share some thoughts before crisis, pre-crisis. That's chapter 27, verse 1 to 13. I will read first 13 verses. And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Oxstan regiment. So entering a ship of Adramitium, we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coast of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. And the next day, we landed at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. When we had put to sea from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea, which is off Sicilia and Amphilia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And then there the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he puts us on board. When we had sailed slowly many days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus, the wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete of Simone. Passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Heavens, near the city of Lycia. Now when much time had been spent, and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, and made the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete opening toward the southwest and northwest, and winter there. When the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. So before crisis, firstly, let's have a look at God's grace and mighty work. And the first step, we find God set up the little church in the big boat, in the big ship. How many people there? We can have a look at verse 37, the same chapter. In there, we have 276 persons on the ship. This is a big boat. This is a small community. And now God set up a small church, three persons, Paul and probably Luke, because in verse 2, he said, Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. Us means the plural, at least two. Apart from Paul, we may think, okay, Luke is there because Luke is the author of the book of Acts. And another one, Aristarchus, three of them, they will be the light in that boat. So when we think about the church, we firstly understand this is the place that the believers have the fellowship and encourage each other, grow in Christ together. So which was also the case for that small church. Aristarchus is famous for his fellow prisoner of Paul, right? In Colossians chapter 4, verse 10, Brother Paul called Aristarchus my fellow prisoner. So for Paul, what he needed on that trip, he was a prisoner. The whole trip, he was a prisoner. So God sent him a fellow prisoner to accompany him. So we all need each other, brothers and sisters. We all need each other. We firstly, we are the family in Christ. So this is not a small trip. This is a long trip. We're talking about months. So God knows. So just like, let's say there's 6 months or 12 months. And before the trip started, God set up a small church. And before this, in Vancouver, there's 60 years, 80 years, God set up a small church named 1670 Gospel Chapel. So we gather together first. And then in second place, we need to be the light in this world. So they will be the light for the other more than 200 people in that trip. But firstly, they need to fellowship in this small church. They have many Sundays to spend, right? They need to worship together. They need to study together. They need to pray together. And they need to receive the command together from the Lord and to be the blessing for others. So this is the first step we see. God's invisible but mighty hand. He built up a small group of saints over there. And secondly, we find God's mighty hand just blessed Paul in verse 3. And the next day, we landed at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friend and receive care. So I don't think any Roman soldiers has any good image, right? It's always not a good image of kind and gentle, no, but here, from God's grace, God arranged a kind and gentle centurion for Paul. And this person was important afterward. in that trip, he changed the Lord. In the light of Paul's testimony, but now God's grace showed to Paul as well. So although Paul was a prisoner, I see all care from the Lord to him, right? Arranged Aristarchus, a fellow prisoner, and arranged a small assembly, and arranged a kind centurion. And this is for the workers. This is for his God's people. How about Gentile? Right? Let's have a look at the Gentile, verse 4. And when we had put to sea from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. So if we read from verse 4 to verse 8, we have a lot of names, place names, but it doesn't matter. We no need to be very clear of all this. But we have one impression. The trip was not that smooth, right? The contrary in verse 4 and in verse 7, wind not permitting us to proceed, right? Verse 8, passing it with difficulties. So you have impression this is not smooth. There's something wrong there. So God warned them through a closing door circumstances. But you may challenge me, okay, we cannot read God's command only through circumstances. Very right. Not only this, God gave them clear word. That's in verse 9 and 10. So in verse 9, when much time has spent and the sailing was not dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Man, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also our lives." I don't think this is from Paul himself. I don't think this is from Paul's analysis of weather and his experience. He's just a tent-making man. This is from Paul's ministry. This is from his worshiping Lord. He gathered with his fellow brothers, and this is a prophecy. Because everything Apostle Paul said in that ship delivered later on, everything. So here, God through Apostle Paul to show the mercy and the love to a group of Gentiles. So we understand this group of Gentiles, later on, they saw even greater miracle. They saw even greater love. But that does not mean that God will do this kind of thing in order to show you greater love, to deliver you into a disaster. No, he warned you. He told you that, okay, this is not something you should do. So we have God's word. This is definitely the standard, the rule we should follow. And then we have the circumstances God arranged for us. So again, if we decided to go ahead, shall we blame God? No. So none of the Gentiles in this world in the judgment day can say, "Lord, I don't know. It's not my fault." No, none of us can say that. God, in his mercy, he has all kind of, just like Judas, right? Before he betrayed the Lord, what did Jesus say? Jesus used every effort to bring him back. We cannot say, okay, in order for a person to betray Jesus, we need Judas. No, this is nonsense. Lord Jesus loved every one of us, no matter what our response is, right? The verse behind me, "For God so loved the world." The world means everyone. The world means Apostle Paul and the other more than 200 people in that ship. So no need for us to blame each other. God's love is enough for us to respond. And the second point, we can have a look at the work of the of Apostle Paul and the ministry work of Apostle Paul. The firstly is warning and prophecy. So as a worker, what should we do? We should be the mouth of God, right? That's probably the first responsibility of the worker. We should deliver, we should pass the word from the Lord to the unsaved, the lost souls. So Apostle Paul just passed the warning first, the prophecy first, to the 200 people in that ship. And we can just imagine how Apostle Paul knew this. And then this is a long trip. So before they reach the small port, the fair haven in the island of Crete, they already traveled a long time. So within that several months, I believe these three brothers, they will gather together pretty much all the time, because all the others, they are not Christians, and they will study together, they will worshiping Lord together, and then they are close to the Lord, and then they know the word from the Lord. How can we be the vessel of the Lord and the blessing to others? We need to be close to Him, right? Otherwise, how can I say I want to be, but I just stay whatever I want to do in this world? No, it's impossible. So here, Apostle Paul, used by the Lord to be the vessel of the word, the vessel of the warning. And secondly, we think about that situation. Apostle Paul himself and two other brothers, they were also in that ship. And they warned the centurion and owner of the ship. So they need to overcome the fear in their heart first, right? What fear? If they did not listen to me, I may die. Because I myself is in that ship. I'm not calling, I'm not through my phone and call the centurion, stop. Because I stand in the land, I'm not in the boat. You see, they are in the boat, they are in that ship. So, well, if I preach the good news to others, and if I did not overcome by God's grace and overcome the fear, and that one rejecting me, if I was poor, I would be depressed. I think, well, this time I'm dead. I can't stay here. All these guys, they will die. Because I know God's word is true. This ship will have disaster. What should I do? If I was stuck in this kind of mindset, I cannot continue to be God's vessel. So when I say, God, I use me, somehow in my prayer, I have the assumption that God, even if I may die with them. This is something I read. I'm touched by what Paul's reaction to those rejection. He did not. He was not offended. Yeah. And so the third point is that the workers need to have a great love, just like the love from the Lord for the lost souls. And the love, according to the 1 Corinthians 13, love is endurance, right? Love means when the one you loved, your beloved one, rejected what you told him or her, the truth of the Lord, you still love her, you still love him. You still want to wait until one day he will come back. So when the whole ship, when they rejected Paul, Paul was not offended. Paul just, I believe he went back to pray for them. I believe that he's waiting for the work of Holy Spirit. And actually it was a wonderful miracle later on. Yeah. If Lord's willing, we can share next time, but in the future, we will see that it was worthwhile. But now, what Paul reacted to the rejection was, yeah, it's okay. I can go ahead with them. So that remind me a perfect truth, also written by God Himself, Holy Spirit, revealed to us through Paul. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. 7 to 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 to 12. Yeah, I read all the verses for you. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then the death is working in us, but life in you. So in this several verses, we see, first of all, believe that Lord Jesus, God's grace is enough. It's enough to deliver him out of all kinds of deadly situation. And there's another one. Paul believed that he will be delivered by the Lord to death. And death showed in the life of the workers and the life to the unsaved souls. So the workers means God need to use them in this kind of situation, like Acts 27, to show the love from the Lord and also themselves be broken. Just like the Gideon, right? The vessel, inside it, there's a light. You need to broke the vessel first, and then light show. And Paul, if we want to understand the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this wonderful truth, we can think about what Paul experienced in Acts 27. And that's another interesting thing is Acts 27 happened after the time of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul wrote the 2 Corinthians earlier than Acts 27, which means what? That was Paul, right? That was what he believed and what he lived. If I say I believe, but actually afterwards, 10 years later, one told me, well, you said so, but you did not live so. How shameful. Paul said, I believe so. I live so. And God did the same thing to me. Not just I said to those Corinthians. Many years later, in that big ship, God just wonderfully used an example to illustrate 2 Corinthians chapter 4. On that day, Paul and his fellow prisoner decided, let's die with this 2,270 people. Okay, and certainly the response of people, of Gentile. And we should meditate. Let's put ourselves into the shoes of these Gentile. And we should take that as a warning. And why they reject Apostle Paul's advice? And firstly, let's have a look at verse 11. Go back to 27, Acts 27, verse 11. And nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. Well, this the exact reason, right? Things spoken by Paul, actually, this is God's word. I trust in a professional than in God's word. How foolish. Actually, this seemingly wise in earthly eyes, right? If I have trouble, I should, maybe my friend, you should consult a professional person, right? Maybe if it's a financial problem, it's a financial consultant. If there is other problem, other consultant, other professional, I'm not here to belittle any professional, but I should tell you that earthly professionals, they can only tell you the probability. They cannot tell you certainty. And you know what? Our life is not decided by probability. Our life is decided by low probability issues. For example, let's say 3 years ago, I want to open start my business of a restaurant. I may hire all kinds of professionals. They may give me all kinds of professional views, but nobody can tell me COVID. Is that right? What ruined my business plan? COVID. Nobody can survive when everything's shut down. And nobody knows there was COVID beforehand. Who knows? God. So in the probability, we are just numbers. But in God's eyes, you and me, we are lives. He cares about us. I'm not here to belittle anyone who is doing any kind of consulting. That's good. But I'm here to tell you, nothing can compare to God's word. How can we know certainties? How can we know these things, these results will happen? We go back to the truth of God. We read Bible. So every time a lot of people, brothers and sisters, consult me, sometimes I say, actually, you know what? I can only tell you, read the Bible. You will know the truth. I don't have any other view to give you. I just tell you, God has the answer. Here, the centurion, he decided, okay, I trust in the helmsman. Helmsman, the master, that's the, we can treat this guy as a chief engineer in the boat, in the ship. Yeah. But Paul is just a prisoner. Before prisoner, he was just a tent maker. Yeah. No, I don't trust in you. I trust in that person. Yeah, that's the first lesson. So let's have a look at the verse 11, the word persuaded, right? Persuaded means that the earthly people will tell you a strong logic. Just like if I'm going to start a restaurant business 3 years ago, I will be persuaded. No, don't trust any of these things. And second point is verse 12. In verse 12, and because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix and the harbor of Crete, opening toward the southwest and northwest in the winter there. Okay, here we have another issue. That's my body, comfortable, whether it's comfortable, it's cozy in the winter. Well, that's important, I agree. But compared with life, that's not important, right? I'm not saying we should not eat and drink, but compared with my eternal life, this is not that important, right? So what is the, we need to put a higher priority? God's word, right? It's not the flesh. So you may want to know how far is this Fairhaven port to that Phoenix. I should tell you, not very far. I checked different dictionaries. Maybe 60 to 100 kilometers. Just a long trip from Horseshoe Bay to Nanaimo, that's it. Compared with your trip to Alaska, this is really nothing. So people decided, We need to find a cozy one. Let's just travel a little bit far, a little bit. Just maybe half a day trip. We are done. We are there. We are happy. Unfortunately, disasters happened in the last mile of their trip. So what this told us? We will never try our luck in God's rules. When God says something, yes, 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 we cannot say this is possibility, this is not possibility. God said, no, you should not proceed, and then we should stop here. Yeah, that city of that heaven, actually, it's not a city, it's a very small port. The nearest city is Lasia. Actually, it's not convenient. Maybe in the winter, they need to travel a little bit more to buy the food and other things and go back. That's it. This is not deadly. This is just not comfortable. What should we do? We should say no to my flesh. If God's word say yeah and yeah, nay and nay. And lastly, verse 13, when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. Supposing that they had obtained their desire, south wind. You know, when we start to observe the time, we have trouble. So south wind is not a good thing in our life. The seemingly blessed south wind will turn to be the reason of our disaster. And seemingly the punishing north wind, that's in verse 12, verse 14, the Euryclyton finally turned to be our blessing. Why is that? Because when we said no to the Lord, we'll see the consequence. But the good news is, if Lord willing, we can share next time. Lord will use this consequence to bless us, to be closer to Him. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we're so thankful. This is a wonderful truth. My Lord is so gracious. And He's always with me. My distance to Him is just a prayer and a praise, Lord. We never realize how blessed we are until we pray and praise and say, Lord, I say no to my flesh. I say no to all kind of things, and I want to be with You. And then we see the miracles, and then we see all the blessings. Lord, our prayer is today, every one of us, when we read all these verses, we say, Lord, I want to be closer to You. We pray in Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.